Reading from Hebrews chapter 11. It should be on page 1209 in your church Bibles. And reading verses 1 to 16 of chapter 11. Now faith is... I'm just going to bring this down. Now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he expects and that he anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness that is keeping in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was unable to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of a country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And then finally, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So this is the part of our service where we unpack what we've heard from the Bible. Believing in a living God who speaks to us today by his Spirit. So let me pray for us. Living God, would you speak to us now? Would you grow us in faith? And would you grow our fellowship between one another, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Brilliant. Well, I'm particularly keen to get these slides up because my plan, if it works, is to start by showing you four pictures. So if we could go on to the... see if I can do it. Okay. There we go. So I'm going to show you four pictures, and bear with me. You know, I did stretch my brain cells to do this one. But the question is there something they have in common? Okay, it's not quite a link between them, but is it something that each of the four pictures have that is common to all four? Bear with me. Okay, so firstly then, a Beetle car. Anybody here ever owned a Beetle? Because I'll be slightly... Oh, look at that. Okay, brilliant. Okay, Beetle cars. Villa fans. Yes. Jack's showing some appreciation or not. No, not... You a Blues fan, Stephen? Yeah, sorry. Other football teams are available. Thank you for the booing during the sermon. Always makes the vicar feel good. Beetle cars. Villa fans, now a lovely one. Ah, Violet's family. Becky, Kyle, Violet. And fourthly, trapeze artists. What is the vicar going on about? How can there be anything in common, or sort of, between these four pictures? Yeah, there's not even a suggestion of a guess. It might come clear to you. Well, I chose these because I think each of these groups, each of these communities has a special bond with each other. I understand, and maybe the Beetle car owners can tell me, that you're meant to wave to other Beetle car owners. I'm getting nods. Okay? Villa fans, well, they've got to have a sense of bonding and family, haven't they, with all the ups and downs that they go through. Violet's family, of course, that's an exceptionally special bond. There was a lovely bond between Becky and Kyle, but then along came Violet, a special bond between the three of them. And of course, trapeze artists have to have that special bond because it's about trust that one will catch the other. But I dare to stand before you today and say that as special and as wonderful as these bonds are, especially in the lovely Long family, they are but a shadow of the deep and beautiful bond that Christians have between each other. Followers of Jesus have a fellowship which is truly divine, a gift from God. And I'm speaking about this today because I'm asked not only to look at this Bible reading that we've just heard, but also to explore a statement that Christians believe in the communion of saints. I believe in the communion of saints, where saints is used to describe someone who has a faith in Jesus. So just to explain the context, here at St. Mary's Church, we're in week 11 of a 14-week series going line by line through something called the Apostles' Creed. This creed being a statement of faith. We as Christians at both our services here in St. Mary's stand up each week and say this is what we believe. So we're going through it line by line so we can really dig into what it says, to understand it more fully, to know what we believe, that we might grow in faith in God. So I said we're in week 11, so what have we covered in the first 10 weeks? Well, I won't go through all 10, but basically, we've looked at the fact that God the Father Almighty is creator, that Jesus his Son died, rose again, and ascended into heaven, and we've looked at believing in the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. Well, whether you're a regular here or a visitor, that probably makes a lot of sense. Because just a matter of minutes ago, I baptized Violet in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's what Christians believe. But the Apostles' Creed doesn't stop there. Christians go on to state, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. So last week we looked at believing in the church, our belief in the universal church, the holy church. Not the Roman Church Catholic, but the universal church that God has as plan A and set apart for the world to see. And we continue this week exploring what it means to believe in the communion of saints. Now, I'm not going to do this, but if I give you a postcard on the way in and you had to write down, you know, what is the communion of saints? I suspect there might have been quite a few blank postcards. I have to say that for me, even as the vicar, I was particularly looking forward to exploring this line of the creed and digging into it. And it's really particularly good today that Violet's baptism has fallen on the week when we look at the fellowship of Christian believers. Because our prayer for Violet is that she grows up to own her own faith in Jesus and take her place in the church. So I'm going to talk about two things: an invitation to a relationship with Jesus, and then about the relationship between believers. So we are all invited to a relationship with Jesus. Now, you stood up earlier and I said, we're going to declare what we believe. I invited you to think about what was being asked and said and only really join in if it was your belief. And I asked you, do you believe and trust in God the Son, who took our human nature, died for us, and rose again? You were invited to respond, we believe and trust in him. So there'll be some here that answered confidently and enthusiastically. There'll be others that responded, maybe not sure. And there will be others here that didn't utter anything because it's a definite no. And that's fine, and it's great that we're gathered here together this morning. But may I share with you that I believe everybody will answer the question, who do you say Jesus is? And I just encourage you to make sure you've properly explored who you say Jesus is. Now, historically, there is absolutely no doubt that a man called Jesus walked this earth just over 2,000 years ago. I don't know if anybody's watched the TV programme The Pilgrimage, and there was a beautiful one through Wales. And they take celebs and they take them on a walk and a spiritual journey. And I don't know who this celeb is because I'm not very up with these things, but a guy who went to Eton had a conversation with someone else who said, he said to them, I thought Jesus was just made up. It was just like a fairy tale. Going to any historian, there is no doubt that Jesus walked this earth. There was a man called Jesus who was crucified. But we're not able to see him physically now. Christians believe he's seated in heaven and present with us by his Spirit. We might have encounters with him, we might have visions of him, but I cannot introduce you to him physically here. We cannot see him. Our Bible reading today from the letter to the Hebrews started with this: now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Certain of what we do not see. That's having faith. How do I have faith? How do you have faith? How am I certain of what I do not see? Or rather, of who I do not physically see, Jesus? Well, I'm going to share three ways in which I am certain about Jesus. Firstly, the Bible, God's word. I was a student at Reading University training to be a speech therapist, and I read the Bible and I met Jesus. That's how I'm certain of who I do not see, but I know. And I read the Bible most days in order to know Jesus better. I also have faith and a certainty because of the experiences in my life, the presence of Jesus with me, knowing his forgiveness and knowing the hope and purpose I have through him. And I'm also certain about Jesus because I see him at work in other people's lives. And that's not just because I'm a vicar, it's because I'm a Christian and I'm able to see and hear about the work of Jesus in other people's lives. So this is faith. This is belief. And trust in Jesus, belief in him, is not belief in an idea. It's a relationship with a person. And in the Bible, those who have a relationship with Jesus, those who are in fellowship with him, are called saints. In the Bible, the Apostle Paul is the author of a number of letters to churches. They are found in the New Testament. Listen to how he begins two of these letters. When he writes to the Ephesians, he says, "To the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus." And then to those in Corinth, he writes, "To the church of God in Corinth, together with all the saints throughout Achaia." Saints are the faithful followers of Jesus. At the first service, there were just 20 of us. It's a smaller, quieter service. I asked people to put their hand up if they were a saint. And it was good to see a lot of them who are Christians going, "Yes, I know I'm a saint." For other people, they were learning whether they are a saint or not, as the Bible describes them. I won't ask you to put your hand up about being a saint, but think about whether you know whether you're a saint or not. But I will, just a straw poll. Okay, nobody else will watch whose hand goes up. Who watched Traitors? Nice confession, everybody. Well done. Excellent. In the most recent series of Traitors, which a few of you were definitely watching, and some who didn't put your hand up, I'm sure, watched as well, there was a contestant who was a vicar. And she stated, "I might be a vicar, but I'm no saint." It was a good line on TV, but it wasn't true. As a follower of Jesus, she is a saint. So be encouraged today. If you know and follow Jesus, you are a saint. But also, if you're not yet, my encouragement is to say to you, do spend some time exploring who you say Jesus is. So, got to go through those pictures, sorry. So we've looked at having a relationship with Jesus. This then moves us on to the second thing, which is a fellowship with one another, a fellowship between the believers. I started with the far too hard, what's the link between these four pictures? And you've just seen them flash up again. I said there was a bond between Beatle drivers, between trapeze artists, within Villa fans, and a beautiful bond in the Long family. But I dared to say that each of these bonds, although wonderful, are a shadow of the fellowship between followers of Jesus. The closest that comes to it is that family bond. But in the family of the church, there's an extra element. You could say it's the X factor or the cross factor, which is Jesus. The very first Bishop of Liverpool, J.C. Ryle, wrote this in the 19th century about the fellowship of Christian believers. It's up on the screen. Have a listen. See what you think of this. "Who indeed can describe the pleasure with which the members of Christ's flock do meet each other face to face? They may have been strangers before, but it's just wonderful to observe how soon they seem to understand each other. There seems a thorough openness of opinion, so that one would think they had known each other for years. They seem indeed to feel they are servants of one and the same master, members of the same family, and have been converted by one and the same spirit. They have one Lord, one faith, one baptism." A line we used earlier. "And I, personally, have had many wonderful experiences of this meeting Christians in different places and experiencing a wonderful encounter, a connection and a fellowship. One of these was being in China on an Easter Sunday. I'd been visiting a friend who worked out there but then was travelling. I confess I didn't know how to find a church in China in the late 90s. But in the afternoon, in a shopping area, I found two shop owners with a small black and white TV watching an Easter service in English. My delight in this and our delight in meeting each other, brothers and sisters in Christ, was amazing. We chatted enthusiastically, shared Easter greetings, and I left the store feeling elated and much encouraged. It happens across the world, but it also happens around the corner. Ali, who's leading us in worship today, told me this story, which she said I should share today. Ali was in McDonald's. Well, there's a confession in itself. Ali was there because she dropped her husband off for work and she was early. So she went and she was preparing for a Bible study she leads on a Monday afternoon. So she sat there with her Bible open. An older gentleman passed by, saw her and said, "That's a great book. My favourite book." Ali agreed, "Yes, it is." He looked and smiled at Ali and said, "I love Jesus, do you?" Ali said, "Yes, she did." And they had a great chat, an incredible bond, a wonderful level of understanding, a true gift, fellowship, communion. And it even happened in McDonald's. Believers are in fellowship with Jesus, and through that, we are in fellowship with one another. This is the communion of saints. And in our communion together, Jesus is present with us. The Bible outlines Jesus as saying, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them." Jesus is here. Our special communion is found when we come into contact with other believers, but it's particularly found and very special as we gather together as church, like we're doing now. There's a great joy in the family of God meeting together in fellowship. The Bible word is koinonia, and it's been there from the beginning of the early church. We read in Acts 2, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And one thing I want to stress this morning is that our fellowship, this communion of saints, is a gift and a blessing. And if we're open to all God wants to show us, it helps us grow closer to God. It helps us to grow in faith. The end of the reading today, the first verse of Hebrews 12 said this: "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus." We're aided as followers of Jesus by those of the Christian faith who have gone before us. The reading Amanda brought to us, and actually the whole of Hebrews chapter 11, speaks of amazing characters in the Bible who did incredible things through their faith in God. Each paragraph begins, "by faith, by faith, by faith." In fact, the chapter's been referred to as a roll call of the faithful. We heard about Noah and Abraham. If you read on, there's Joseph and others. We're encouraged to look at the faith of these people so that we're spurred on and inspired in our own faith. But we not only look to those long ago, but to those God puts around us throughout our lives, those around us now. And I tell you, St. Mary's is a great church. I am so encouraged, inspired, and blessed by the faith of so many people. And this is all part of being the communion of saints. I wonder if you've paused, if you're someone of Christian faith, and asked yourself who's inspired and encouraged you in faith. Maybe in the next couple of weeks, in this Lenten period, you might let them know if they're still alive. Let them know verbally or a text or an email. Write them a card. I know it would be such an encouragement to them. One person that inspired me in my faith in my mid-20s is a doctor called Saranjan Bhattacharjee. He was a man of great faith in Jesus. He was an eminent doctor, and yet his great humility shone through. And he had a profound impact on me and my journey of faith. And 8 years ago, I was back in India and staying with him and his wife. and I plucked up the courage to tell him the inspiration he had been to me. He looked at me and gently replied, "Oh, if only I have given a glimpse of the Master, what a privilege and joy." And there again, he inspired me further in my faith. I wonder who's going to inspire Violet in the journey of faith. Parents and godparents have made that promise, but more people around will do that. May we be those who are postured to notice and be inspired by the faith of others. And may we be so postured towards following Jesus that by his grace we might encourage others in their faith. Finally then, and very briefly, as I close, I want to say that whenever people are in relationship with Jesus and then there's fellowship between believers, there's an overflow. There's a witness to those around. A previous Archbishop of Canterbury, William Temple, stated, "The church is the only society on earth that exists for the benefit of its non-members." If you're not a member of a church, we're here for you because God is here for you. May St. Mary's continue to be a wonderful fellowship, a communion of saints. May we encourage and spur one another on in faith. And may the overflow of this be the love shown to our non-members, those in the communities of Hollywood and Withal. And not only showing love, but showing Jesus. Today, may we each think about our relationship with Jesus and our relationship with one another. Amen.